Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He said it, we got out-coached. It's not on the players, it's on me.
He did. Interesting. Yeah. That's the right thing.
Did you see, one thing I just wanted to bring up that made me unhappy was happy Bill Belichick with his granddaughter at the end. Very unsettling.
Yes.
I didn't like it one bit. Now, the good thing was when they went to the granddaughter and they're, do you want to say anything? Total silence. So she's got those Belichick genes in her.
On to Cincinnati. If a kid had said that, it would have been the greatest of all time.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then, we're live at Chatter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Streets Northwest, on what promises to be a beautiful day, which makes me sad, because it's going to be 65 degrees today, and it's the kind of day where you cut school. And in my case, school is the PTI show. And I cut the PTI show, and I go to play golf, and I can't because I have a broken rib. This is very annoying. As I said the other day, I've plateaued. It's better, but it's not getting any more better. And this is not a good situation for me. So I'm upset about that. We have trivia here tonight. People should come and play trivia and spend money. I want to make sure that that people understand this. We got out of the holiday season, and there's this notion that there aren't any more parties. There are parties if you want there to be parties.
Sure.
We provide wonderful party catering right here in Chatter, and we do it 12 months a year, or until we go out of business. But we're in business now, and I want to encourage people to have parties. And as an example, I'm going to give people a save the date. Save the date, February 28th. That is a Thursday. That is the last day of February. This gets a little dicey for me, so I'm going to try and say it as sort of non-one percenter-ish as I can. A few years ago, I have money, and I never knew what to do with money because I don't come from money. So I don't, nobody in my immediate family ever had a stock, ever. Okay, we didn't have any money. When I got money, I gave it to some people. I didn't give it away, but I, you know, got some people to do something with it, and it was not entirely satisfactory as time wore on. And then I got involved with a group of people from Pittsburgh, the Waldron Group, W-A-L-D-R-O-N,
yay,
right, and led by Matt Helfrich, and Matt is great, and Michael and Liz showed me the way to this thing. In any case, Waldron wants to throw a party here for everybody, for littles. They want people to come. They want to announce themselves and have people come. Now, I understand that not everybody has excess money and wants to have someone invest or manage or, you know, have the ability to grow your money. You're afraid to do. I get all that. They are looking for clients, but maybe you don't have that ability now. Maybe you will down the road. Or maybe you just want to come because it's going to be an open bar. It's going to be a happy hour on February 28th. And you're all invited.
Top shelf.
I am, wow. Yes. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more as time goes on.
Going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, but it's fine. Right. What I don't want to have happen is, oh, he's loaded and he wants us to. No. Do what you want to do with your own money. Stick it in a mattress if you want. Burn it in the streets if you want. Or invest it any which way you want. But if the time ever comes that you are looking for money management, consider Waldron. That's all right. I can't say it.
You're the only person I know who could be conflicted about someone else having a free party.
I'm happy to have.
This is great.
I'm going to be here, and Matt's going to just introduce himself.
There'll be a 5-gallon bucket by the door if people want to throw in donations for the free food and drinks.
Is this like a timeshare thing? Are they going to be calling us for weeks afterwards?
I have no idea. I can't vouch
for them.
Can't
leave until you give them names of three friends.
Did you?
But they listen. Matt, listen. So Matt will hear this today and he'll call up and say, you imbecile. You're killing us. Why are you doing this, Waldron?
Did you want to make the announcement that the Alfalfa Club is going to have their dinner
that
here?
That would be so great if they were.
What's Waldron's first name so I can Google them?
I don't know. It's
Waldron Group.
He says
the Waldron Group.
I don't know. Is there? I just refer to it as Waldron. From Jolene Wojcik in Grand Island, Nebraska. I know you said stop sending stuff. Yes, stop giving us your junk.
I disagree completely with that plea of yours.
You want us to
and this is
more?
Related to something I've been talking to Nigel about.
WaldronPrivateWealth.com.
One of the great wonders of this show is that everybody's a member of the family. Somebody from Grand Island, Nebraska. Nigel, you hush. I have been to Grand Island, Nebraska, by the way. I did an event for the Chamber of Commerce, and they hold it at the racetrack, which is great. But people around the world are members of this family, and they feel like members of the family. They can share their concerns. They can share their griefs. They can share their criticisms of you and us and everybody else. And they can send things to be a part of the family. Yes, okay. Send your junk.
Continue to send all junk.
Well, be selective.
Yeah, just anyway.
Good junk.
This is a good
Jolene writes,
good
box. We don't want you sending Salty the Sea Cat. I mean, hey, we have enough copies of that.
I signed a copy this morning.
Jolene says, I know you said stop sending stuff, but I hope this makes your definition of really great and does not oppress you or Nigel. I just returned from the Holy Land. It was an amazing trip, and I've enclosed a few gifts for the crew. Hate flying as much as you do, but the return trip was leave Jerusalem at 4 a.m., 4 hours to Frankfurt, 9.5 hours to Chicago, 2 hours to Omaha. Then you have to be driven 2 hours to the home in Grand Island. Okay. And that is the man to whom I'm related by marriage had to do that. Lots of medication, alcohol, along with 9 Mr. Tony download podcasts, made 30 straight hours of travel bearable. We visited the Western Wall in Jerusalem to deliver prayer requests. With your Jewish heritage, I'm sure you have much more knowledge of the wall than I do. Build that wall! That's all I've got. Just outside the wall, I purchased the hand, or hamsa, which is supposed to bring good luck to a business. I hope so. So you can hang it a chatter, and it will bring your restaurant much success. I'm a cradle Catholic, so please bear with me. I've sent rosaries for David and his boys that were made in Bethlehem. Also one for Chris, as I know he's Catholic. For Nigel, I've included water from the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized.
Cool.
You know, rock me in the water. For those mornings when things are not working correctly, he can bless himself in the studio with the water and calm down.
He's out of water.
I do not know the religious affiliation of the rest of the crew, but I've included a few small things that were bought inside the old city of Jerusalem. Thank you for many years of great radio. Blessings to you and your family. These items are purchased with cash in Jerusalem, so it works there. So they probably don't have, you know...
straight cash, homie.
What's that place that doesn't take jetties? They probably jetties. Don't have a jetty.
Yeah. Right.
So our great
no,
thanks
they have
to
an Abu Shukri.
Yeah, great thanks to Joel.
Very cool. Thank
Let
you,
Let me
Joel.
Start the show. I miss football so much.
It's been 2 days, Tom.
So I miss it so much. I'm not interested in whatever is going on now. February is the worst month for sports, and I'm not interested in anything.
Pitchers, catchers,
although
come
I
on.
Did... Well, that, there is that. I did...
Loading.
I did notice that... Both the Bengals and the
Dolphins
introduced their coaches, their football coaches. Brian Flores is a very good choice for Miami because you saw what he did defensively in the Super Bowl. Zach Taylor, the quarterback's coach for the Rams, who's working off no offensive points other than a field goal, was introduced in Cincinnati. And you think to yourself... That's a hard sell today. That's a hard sell today.
Well, he hung around that other guy for a while, which is all it takes.
And
right?
He's the same age almost. He's just a couple of
35,
years older.
He's now the second youngest.
Yeah. So I came home. I had no desire to watch the NBA, but I did. I watched the Wizards. The Wizards won. The Wizards stink. The Wizards played no defense at all. The Wizards, now you have to understand, they're playing it. Atlanta is terrible.
17-35 entering the game.
Atlanta was on the last day of a 2-week road trip. If there's ever a game you phone in, it's the last game of a 2-week road trip. Atlanta scored 137 points. The other night, didn't the Wizards give up 140 points to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Gave up 140.
76 in the second half.
This is, look. They can make the playoffs. They can be seventh or eighth in the playoffs.
Getting
but a couple of
day.
Things need to be said. It is like Scott Brooks, they're not listening to him. Nobody on that team is listening to anything Scott Brooks says. Scott Brooks goes out after every game and talks about the lack of defense and says this is
and
unacceptable.
The slow start.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you gotta get rid of all the players or you gotta get rid of Scott Brooks. I don't think I'm wrong on this. There's no defense being played whatsoever. The Wizards are better than Atlanta and lost that game at home. You know what I thought of? I thought of Dwight Howard. What a clown gesture that was. How many games has Dwight Howard actually appeared in?
I believe 9, Tony. I checked that.
Is he going to come back? Like,
he's played 9 games.
Well, not here.
I don't want to hear anybody say, wow, we're in great shape for next year. Because John Wall and Dwight Howard are coming back. Dwight Howard is to
Dwight's
this...
out another month, likely, this, as of
Dwight Howard is to this generation of Wizards fans what Mark Price was when the Bullets acquired him in the 80s. And he was great, except he didn't play.
Yeah, other
he
than that.
Never played. He had some sort of disease. and he couldn't play. Plantar fasciitis, and he couldn't play. So you acquired an all-star who was of no use to you. Dwight Howard is a multi-time all-star. He's of no earthly use to you.
So for all the hate heaped upon Dwight Howard from this very podcast over the years. The one thing that I think we agreed upon when Dwight Howard was announced was that it would help fortify the defense a little bit. Marcin Gortat was gone. Assuming he would play.
He's got the bad can.
They appear. Not only do they not play defense, but they...
Boy, my can! I can't play.
They appear to be completely fine with it. Like, they are so happy to just run up and down the court and shoot threes. And they can make them. They can score. I mean, Bradley Beal's having an incredible statistical year offensively.
They scored 129 and got beat.
Yeah. And we're close. Scored 129 and weren't really close. They got within three late.
They were close
in
the third quarter. They were close at the end of the first half. I'm stupidly watched this game.
I mean down the stretch.
And I mean stupidly. Honestly... You're not saying anything. You usually do.
Where are your notes?
You usually chime in and you say something nice about them. But Scott Brooks, to whom they are giving $7 million a year for 2.5 more years, they don't listen to him.
I think it's time for some cross-pollination. So maybe the Rams could use Scott Brooks in some offense, right?
Sure.
I just don't have it in me to take on the Wizards this year. I'm worried enough about the Caps. I can't
take
them.
That's fine. But, yeah. I mean, they're no good.
Is it just that it's more fun to play offense and they don't want to play defense?
Well, they've never wanted to. It's been years, it seems to me, since they had any commitment to playing defense. They seem to be having fun. I mean, they're scoring
they're
a lot,
paid.
Getting some great exercise.
And by the way, not 140 points to Milwaukee, just 131. So that was a nice defensive effort.
137 to Atlanta.
And you wonder
that
if...
That is terrible.
And to your point, I think they're three...
Name somebody on Atlanta.
They are... Dominic Herder.
Dominic
Trey Young. They are currently three games out of the eighth spot.
I think they
which,
can.
By the way, would match them with the Bucks, who destroyed them, and I think their next game is against the Bucks as well.
They can get there because Indiana's not going to win any more games.
But whatever happens to this season, the fear is that it's just chalked up to, well, we had no John Wall, so it's just...
Right,
you know, if we
but
had
wait
John
till
Wall.
Next year. John Wall and Dwight Howard. Tori has her hand
I
up.
I do have a question. Why is Ted Leonsis okay with this?
He says we're not going to tank. We're not going to tank. We're just going to lose because we stink. We're not going to play. We're not going to have any effort at all on defense.
To Torrey's point, is this easier for him to stomach because the Caps just won the Cup? He can be like,
I would think. I would think. Yeah. He's going to factor later in the show when we talk about the Fort DuPont ice rink for all of you people listening in Australia and Wales and places like that. James Harden got 44 last night. He goes for 30 all the time. Houston beat a very bad Phoenix team. And a Phoenix team that, by the way, gets very high draft choices and is very bad. They have Corey Booker. Wasn't he a top five? They have DeAndre Ayton. He was overall one.
Yes. Number one, yeah.
You know, they're no good. And Harden has now gone over 30, 27 straight games with the same move all the time, which is to use his right hand
to stick it in
your chest and free himself for all sorts of shots and then go to the line. He's played 53 games. He's gone over 40, 20 times. What do we make of this? They can't win the championship this way, but wow.
He's averaging 36.5 a game.
Wow.
When he scores less than that, you're like, all right. I mean, to your point, he scored over 30 a bunch in a row. A couple of them are 31-point games. You're like,
He's over 40 a lot.
Yeah.
He's over 40 20 times.
And do you know, and averaging.
I mean, that's Rick Barry territory. Forget Will Chamberlain. Rick Barry used to do that.
Averaging 8 assists, which surprises me. But he has the ball all the time. When
making
he's not,
no baskets from other people who throw him the ball.
Well, I just created
He looks
zone.
At them and he goes, yeah, thanks. And now I will dribble for 20 seconds.
I don't know what to make of it. He's a tremendous scorer.
Yes. All right, we'll get out of here. Later in the show, we need to ask Tori about her podcast last night.
Yes, we'd love to.
You know, because Michael was at the
it was
podcast.
Scary.
I was allowed to stay for the entire show.
Do you want to hold that thought, and we'll get to that in a little while?
Yes.
We will have Jason Lock and 4 of CBS Sports when we return, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Books ad. It's a little traditional in terms of Valentine's Day. I'm just going to say that now. It's a little traditional. Valentine's Day is brutal on us guys.
Oh, wine.
The pressure to buy the perfect gift is intense, right? Flowers are always the right call, but here's where it gets dicey. If you show up with produce department flowers that smell like green onions, you are toast.
That's a bad move.
Same with sending stale flowers plus an upsell balloon from some flower giant website. The Books is the ticket. That's short for bouquets, and these flowers are booking awesome. Look, there's a huge difference between flowers from the Books and the others, and trust me, she knows it. Books delivers spectacular flowers cut fresh from the finest farms in the world. They even have farms on the side of a volcano that produce the most amazing flowers ever. Books are picked fresh, shipped direct, so they stay fresher longer, and Books cut out the middleman, so you save big time. Be a hero this Valentine's Day with flowers from the Books. Go to Books.com and enter Tony for 20% off. Yeah, 20% off when you enter Tony at Books.com, and that's spelled B-O-U-Q-S, B-O-U-Q-S. That's Books.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
I like this.
It's very nice, isn't it?
This is from Tim Wildsmith in Nashville, Tennessee. We've played his stuff before.
We have indeed.
He writes, in honor of our reopened government, here's a song called Made It Through from my album, A New Morning. Please tell your listeners they can find this and other songs on Spotify, iTunes, and all the usual places. By the way, the person to whom I'm related by marriage is an extremely talented painter. But when I asked her if she wanted to paint your 40-foot mural for free, she rolled her eyes and gave me the TK salute. Sorry, old man, I tried.
This is a little NRBQ-ish. Does anybody remember NRBQ?
I do.
Very, very good. Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports joins us now. His active season is over. He's going to have to report on the draft and stuff like that. But we've got sort of wrap-up questions that will maybe assuage my tremendous sadness that the football season is over and I have to pay attention to the NBA and the NHL. Let's start with this, Jason. As you watched that game, what was your main takeaway from the Super Bowl game that you watched?
Coaching matters, you know. Preparation matters. That this is a game that it's just sort of more scripted, I think, than others. You think about what a play actually means and what it means to construct a play. And, you know, you've got these 11 guys of various sizes and shapes and sort of this orchestral development, right? And if one guy really does go a little out of line or one guy's not having a great day, the whole thing can collapse in a way that no one expected, and the whole thing can come together in a way that it hadn't at other points in the season. And I just kept watching the sort of dominating, masterful performance of that New England defense and thinking back to a year ago. And sure, it was against a different opponent, but it was still bleeping Nick Foles. I mean,
yep.
It wasn't Joe Montana in his prime, and they couldn't get a stop. They couldn't force a single punt. They forced one punt a year ago, and they probably win the game. And here is Sean McVay and this team that averaged 422 points a game and, you know, was high-flying, and, oh, the Rams-Chiefs is the new wave of football. They couldn't get a first down. All they did is punt seven straight times. Belichick, 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 Belichick.
I understand that, which leads to this question. Brady has said he will come back. Gronkowski, nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Do you expect Belichick at some point? I just wonder, do you think, does Belichick come back? Because I will tell you, I had the sense with what they said after the game, with as expansive as Belichick was after the game, with the notion that they let their families stay in the hotel, it felt like old Lang Syne to me. It felt like maybe this was the last one and Belichick knew it. Do you expect him back?
I do. I do. The Brady thing, I mean, there's still some people close to him who feel like 2-3 weeks from now when he would normally start, you know, throwing himself back into the
right.
335-day-a-year or 340-day-a-year job that it is to be Tom Brady, because his offseason, again, he, you know, he'll allow himself to cheat for a week or two, and then it's, you know, where's Tom House? Let's put the band together. You know, here's my kinesiologist. Here's my throwing schedule. Let's go. There's some people who feel like when it comes to that time that maybe, you know, maybe there's a chance that he decides, eh. But short of that, I don't think Belichick's leaving yet. I think he is. He's just not like a normal dude. I don't know how much he craves in his life as a human being outside of like football and a few close friends, and you know, helping continue to establish his son in the game of the NFL, and help his daughter be a lacrosse coach, and all that stuff. I don't think there's a whole lot more to this. You know, we can try to make it into more, and we you know, and I'm not saying he's a complete football cyborg, but I think he kind of sort of is, and
yeah.
And so I think this defines him. He defines himself internally through his success or failures doing this any given year, and I think he feels as strong as ever. And every year is a new challenge, and I think that keeps that beautiful mind of his working. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Like, if you made me handicap it right now, I think he and Brady do come back, and I think Gronk does not.
Okay, so let me get to all the things you think about. You watch this game, and I agree with you 100%. It's coaching. He directs his coaching towards that particular opponent. When he says it's on to Cincinnati, that's not a joke. I mean,
right.
Cincinnati gets a different game plan than the previous team, and he's great at that. And so I'm wondering, is the secret just the way they choose the personnel, that they have to have a certain sort of player who will accept coaching and who will understand that he's really just a guy, and that if you do accept the coaching, it'll matter? Because, Jason, in the last two games against Kansas City and the Rams, two of the three highest-scoring teams in all of football, they went 60 minutes without giving up a point.
Yeah.
The first half, no points.
I think he knows at this point who can take it and who can't, who will fit his culture and who won't, who is malleable enough and pliable enough to buy in and sacrifice mind, body, and soul for this communal goal, and who just isn't wired for it. And I think there's another layer to it where certain guys he will bring in. He needs enough of two different types of guys. Swiss Army knives, guys who have certain athletic abilities, certain metrics, certain just sort of innate abilities that he can say, all right, I got these 10 dudes who I can do whatever I want with them. And Edelman, you know, we saw Troy Brown over the years. Even a guy like Slater, who to me was probably one of the five or six most important people in that game.
Yeah, he trapped the ball inside the 10.
And try to find one special teams play that Slater isn't all over. I mean, every punt was dictated to his side. How many times did he down the ball? How much did that guy have to do with the overall game plan and horrible starting position of the Rams throughout most of it? So it's those dudes. And then it's a couple of guys who just have one thing that nobody else saw in them that I think they can do, and I'm just going to use them in that particular role. And that can be some of these older dudes at the end of their careers, the junior say-out types, the whatevers. Or like, you look at the rosters of some of these Super Bowl teams in recent years, you know, and like the year he got Chris Long or the year he got Barkevis Mingo. It's that sort of the melding of those types of people. And then it's just... like, there's no substitute for brain power. Like, the smartest guy usually wins, and we've got the smartest coach ever with a guy in Josh McDaniels who I think is a genius in his own right, who's been there for the length and breadth of this. And Belichick can continue to coach up young guys who move through the ranks on defense. And then you've got the greatest quarterback of all time, and you put all, and Brady's a football savant. He's a football genius too, and he's with the only, like, how many other coaches could continue to push Brady like this? I think part of the reason that Brady keeps coming back for more is because he doesn't know what we're going to do next week. You know what I mean? He'll have an idea, but it's like, wow, we're just in the middle of the game. We're going to go to this different sort of two tight end offense that we haven't run all year and win that way, and then we're going to smash mouth people. And then, you know, 3 weeks from now, I might throw it 50 times. I think that's part of the allure and charm for him, because it's always keeping him guessing and keeping him on his toes and keeping his mind stimulated. I mean, at some point, a guy with that ego, a guy who's accomplished all that, with any lesser coach might have been like, you know, let me just leave here and try it somewhere else. There's none of that there. And as much as 2 years ago people were trying to tell you the sky is falling and here's 5,000 words about the end of the Patriots dynasty, that dude, you know, that QB and that coach,
yeah,
they're just different, and they're made for each other, and it's remarkable. We will never, ever, 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 ever see anything close to this. It's two dynasties in one.
Let me go to the other side. Sean McVay, Jared Goff, are they damaged by this?
You Sean got McVay's nothing. Not. I mean,
right.
Will he have to love Jared Goff up a little bit this offseason and sort of reach back out to him existentially the way he did when he got to that building and, you know, that kid looked like damaged goods after a rookie year?
Yeah.
I think there'll be some of that. I think there'll be a psychological element to it. But this idea that now Sean McVay is broken or has been exposed, I mean, dude, they absolutely, let's just not forget what our eyes and mind saw. Like, they tore through this league like a chainsaw. That defense was a joke most of the year. And they had to score 35 to win, and they pretty much did it every single week. And the playoffs are different, and Belichick in the playoffs when he's getting his sixth ring and you're there for the first time is really, really different. And Sean did not have a good day, and Jared had a terrible day. But you know, outside of Robert Woods, like, who had a good day, or, you know, who was associated with the offensive, game plan of the Rams? Gurley certainly didn't have a good day. C.J. Anderson didn't have a good day. None of their tight ends showed up for work. 3/5 of their offensive line was a joke. So, I mean, it is collective as well.
All right, let me get to just a couple of things around the league. What will the Eagles do with Nick Foles? Where is he going to end up in? And why is it sort of an automatic? This is what I wonder about. If you franchise him, and so then you have to pay him, or somebody has to pay him, over $20 million for the year, because that's a very high number, how do we know someone will trade for him? Does that franchise tag money convey?
I don't know that he's getting franchised. I don't know that he reaches that stage. What I've been reporting for quite some time now is they're going to sit down with him pretty shortly and say, let us try this. We pick up your option, keep your $2 million, and we'll trade you. Like, where is he going in free agency? There's only like 2.5 teams in the league that need a quarterback right now.
Jackson.
You know, it's not like if he was on the market right now, there would be 7 teams that say, well, let's just, you know, house our starter to go get Nick Foles. Like, let's trade our guy and then sign Foles. Like, that's just not going to be the case. It's Jacksonville. You know, it's, I guess, maybe Washington, maybe Miami, maybe Denver. That's it. That's the quarterback market. So if they're able to get a draft pick from Jacksonville from him, then, you know, I think that's what they do. And if they're not, if they're not able to, then, you know, could they play a high-stakes game of poker and be stuck with him for, you know, $20 million? Maybe, but I think Howie's smart enough to know that if we pick up that option and we say we've got a trade for you and are you willing to go to Jackson, like the same teams that would be maybe interested in trading for him would be the ones that would sign him. And it's not going to be clubs falling all over themselves. So I do think he's traded. I think Jacksonville's the most likely spot. I don't think they get a ton in return for him.
All right.
But I do think they could get a 4th-round pick that moves up to a 3rd or something like that, or a 2nd maybe even, if he hits certain thresholds statistically or through wins or playoffs or whatever.
By the way, shout out to you on the PTI show after that good question at the Goodell press conference. Wilbon and I were thrilled.
Just doing my job.
No, but we were thrilled.
I tried to get something out of him.
Yeah, well, you didn't. Nobody does. I mean, it was just awful. Anyway, all right, how's the dog?
He's good. He was surprised to see me walk through the door yesterday. I think he thought I may have met my maker.
Yeah,
wasn't coming back. But no, we're doing very well. Thank you. We're getting there.
Okay, and the podcast?
Can I do the accent since this is like the last regular one? I think we're good.
Oof. You can, but if that dog starts to bark, you have to stop.
Okay,
it's your money.
Yeah.
Don't I know it? Yeah. Oh, and real quick, shout out to Jeff Jones, who made up some super cool shirts for Copper and sent them here for the whole family. We've got a whole Copper-centric wardrobe.
That's good.
Tony! donation. Oh, wait. No, maybe I better not.
Don't. Don't.
I was going to try to take a nap.
No, there it goes. There it goes.
Copper's back.
That's it. All right. Hey, get out of here.
Hey, easy, Copper. Tone, this week on the BMO show, we're going to be wrapping up the Super Bowl hunt on Be More Opinionated. Check us out on the iTunes and the Stitchers and all that stuff. www.bmoshow.com.
So
I got to give this dog a walk, hon. Let's go.
See you. That's so fabulous. It's just so fabulous that the dog responds to that. I don't know how that could be, but it's just it's like an old friend.
It is.
It's really wonderful. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we will have news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad, and as you know, we hope it's true for baby boy Bootsy, but it's certainly true about Chessie. She loves sleeping in the dog bed. You heard me talking about Casper for some time now. That is because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You spend a third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for quality sleep service with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Their breathable design helps you sleep cool, regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array of other products, like pillows and sheets, to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how-do-they-do-that size box, plus free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And again, my dog loves the dog bed. From my listeners,
if it's good enough for Tony's dog,
it should be good enough for your children. Yes. From my listeners, Casper is offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/Tony using the promo code Tony at the checkout line. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to Casper, CASPER.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Georgia Sunset. It is performed by Joe Alterman. It is sent to us by his friend Joel Feinberg, and who says you can check out all of Joe's music, including his newest album, More Cornbread, at joealtermanmusic.com or searching Joe Alterman on Spotify, SoundCloud, or on the Google machine. He's a jazz pianist.
Yeah. That's right.
He doesn't sing?
No, this is just instrumental.
Wow.
It's nice.
It almost feels like a Randy Newman-esque kind of song, doesn't it?
A little feel to it.
Randy sings, though.
Yes, Randy does.
He has a bachelor and a master's in jazz piano performance from NYU. Wow. He's the director of the Atlanta Jewish Music Festival. And that is March 7th through 16th this year.
He's going to need the financial advice of your buddies from Pennsylvania.
I hope that's true.
I don't think jazz pianist is going to make you a ton of money.
No, but it might make you enough. Might keep you happy.
Yeah.
All of the movie, La La Land is based on the notion that if you open up your own jazz bar, you're going to do great. Michael, if people like Joe Alterman or friends of Joe Alterman want to send in the music that touches their hearts and they think is great, and it is great almost all the time and can be heard in its entirety at the end of this podcast, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
Okie dokie, Nigel has news.
Yeah, I wanted to say also you can check out Joe's music, his new album, More Cornbread, at joealtermanmusic.com, or you can find Joe Alterman on Spotify, SoundCloud, or the Google machine.
Do you listen to this show?
Oh, did you just say that?
Because less than 45 seconds ago, I said
I was lost in the jazz music.
Sorry. I said all that.
I was lost in the jazz.
This is like
lost
Wilbon,
in the notes you don't
where
hear.
I look at Wilbon half the time.
Bears
and I go,
repeating.
Do you pay any attention to this?
Apparently not. I'll get the holy water out.
Yeah. Could you find that music
And if you
again?
Have music you want to share with us, I should just point out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how does that work? Michael, could you tell us how that works?
And Groundhog Day starts again.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Mr. Tony, we'll start off close to home. The governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Is he in or is he out?
Of the moment.
Right now, he is still in. He has asked staffers to stand by as he decides his fate. And I believe he's assured people he will decide his fate soon.
He's going to try to stay, right, Tory?
He's going to try to hunker down.
He's trying to.
Says he doesn't want to be known for the rest of his life as a racist.
Good luck with that.
A little late for that.
Yeah. So he's trying to... Here's what happens. You hope the news cycle throws up something else.
Right.
And then you end up on page five and you're not on page
maybe
one anymore.
Maybe declare a state of emergency tonight.
Wag the dog. No. It's a wag the dog situation. Yeah.
I think this is a year from now, 5 years from now, we're going to look back and say this was the moment that started the racist version of hashtag Me Too. Right? Then, because we're now into zero tolerance mode on these. And by the way, on him, I think it should be zero tolerance. But I think this is a defining moment.
Well, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you the strategy.
So you're suggesting they're just going to come after everyone who's put shoe polish on their face or worn a KKK outfit?
And I think they should.
So let me go to this, because you've given advice to people in your life as to how this
you
works.
You always say that, and it makes it sound like I've worked for a bunch of bums.
No,
I
tended
not
McCain.
To work for people. Well, he was a bum. I love him. He was a bum. No, I wouldn't work for people like this.
I think
this
just means that your job was to
No, I'm getting
help
to
people.
This next question.
Okay.
Because now, and I don't know who planted this or how this became public or when it became public or what part of a strategy it is, but now the gentleman who would ascend to the governor's mansion,
Justin Fairfax,
in Virginia, is being accused blindly. I mean, someone unidentified, a woman who said not as many years ago as this yearbook picture,
2004.
Certainly 2004, that she was forced into a sexually compromising position by this particular fellow. If I'm the governor, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I can ride this out because nobody's going to want him either.
Tony, some have theorized the governor's office leaked that.
Well,
he's absolutely wrong. And I don't know who around him is giving him advice to hang on. He's not doing himself any good.
Okay.
I do believe there's, if not redemption, there always is a life after for people after these terrible things, and they can go on to have a job or whatever. In his case, the longer he hangs on like this, the harder it makes for him. And I'm struck by so many things. This puts to rest forever the notion that Republicans are good at opposition research. How did the people who ran against him not see this? And then let's bring in all the journalists who covered that race. That was a big race when he ran against Ed Gillespie. How did they not go and check out the yearbooks?
Well, how do you go back to somebody's... First of all, I didn't even know medical schools had yearbooks.
So let me suggest, moving forward, that's where I'm going to start.
This was right after Kavanaugh, right? I mean, wouldn't you think, well, let's go back and check some school records on this bloke?
Well, you think during the campaign somebody would have checked that.
Okay.
And then Northam wants it focused on... I wasn't one of those two people in that picture, even though he said he was.
Yeah.
Right? He wants it focused on, to Gary's point, I put a little bit of shoe polish on my face. Well, that's not good.
Right.
And then look at the VMI yearbook in which his nickname was horrific.
Yeah.
So for many reasons, he's got to go.
Okay. What else?
One guy who probably will not step up into that governor's spot is Liam Neeson.
What is this?
Wow. So Liam Neeson is on the publicity tour right now for a movie called Cold Pursuit, which shockingly plays out of type. He's going to be somebody seeking revenge.
Every Liam Neeson movie is the same.
Well, he does have a particular skill.
He's got to be late 60s, right?
He's great. I would think so.
He's great at this role. He he's 65.
Yeah, it's got to
be. He's
got to
be 65.
He said
66.
Someone who was close to him had disclosed to Liam that she had been raped by a black person. So in response to that, Liam Neeson says he once roamed the streets in pursuit of
some random
black person
some
to murder.
Some ridiculous life imitates art thing? Or is this the plot for another movie? Is this believable on any level? Because if it is believable, Liam Neeson is not going to get another role soon.
He said he sort of related it to his upbringing in Ireland in the time of Troubles, saying, like, I understand the motivation for revenge. However, revenge just brings on more violence, and in the end, it doesn't really bring you any sort of good or justice.
It's a dish best served cold.
Yes, we always do say that. But his co-stars who were in the interview with him were like,
what?
What? Okay.
What are you?
Good luck with all that.
Yeah.
So
they must be dying because this has killed this movie. Right, whatever movie this is that's coming out.
Cold Pursuit.
You think it's killed the movie?
He's killed
You don't think more people would want to go see the movie now?
No, people will boycott it.
Okay. Because his movies are like Fast and Furious 1 through 9.
Yeah.
It's the same movie the time.
This is going to be minus 6.
No, you can't read the quote.
No, I don't mean the bad words he said, but just his description of what he was doing.
Sure.
I went up and down areas with
a kosh.
That's like a cudgel. Stick.
It's like a cudgel.
Like a
I don't know what it is.
It's a
stick.
Like a blunt instrument. I went up and down areas with a kosh hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some, in black quotes, person would come out of a pub and
I'd kill him.
And have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could
have a
kill
go at him of the last six
so
movies.
That I could kill him.
Yeah. So what do we
He continued
insane.
It took me a week, maybe a week and a half to go through that.
Well, like first
this
of all
this is insane.
I think first of all you got your host for the Oscars now. This is the guy you want.
Yeah. It's completely insane.
It's
like he thinks he's the toughest guy in the world.
He did express remorse for his thoughts and actions.
There's not a bar in the world that doesn't have three guys who could kill him.
Right. By the way, who did he think? Like he thought he was the guy in Taken or something.
I've got a particular set of skills. Make life very difficult for you people.
Craziness.
To more local news.
That, by the way, that Liam Neeson story is on every news show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everybody has the same reaction. They go, what? What?
David Alan Greer tweeted, is Liam Neeson running for governor of Virginia?
Just stop. Stop.
Mr. Tony, you referenced
You're this, an actor.
Actor.
You referenced this early in the show about the lack of ice rinks here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. There's a columnist at the Washington Post. Who takes great delight in demeaning people who live in various areas of this city, demeaning where they live and demeaning them, and has set herself up as the ultimate authority on relationships and how the world should be. And now she's upset because Fort DuPont, where, by the way, Michael Kornheiser played hockey in his life and is the one the ice rink in the city of Washington, D.C., it needs funding. It needs $25 million, and there's some thought that Muriel Bowser would rather take that money and spend it somewhere else and not spend
on the heating. The money was allocated for renovations of the rink and to create a new sheet of ice, and she wants to reallocate it to other areas of schools.
She wants to move it away from Fort DuPont. So this particular columnist is up in arms right now, up in arms because her children... play
hockey.
The bus
there. Just committed suicide out in the street.
So her children play hockey movie. There. So this is very personal for her. But of course, some of the things that she's written about that might be personal for somebody else, she hasn't cared as she's just run roughshod over them. And I know because I read this. Anyway, she's attacking Ted Leonsis. This is so great. You need $25 million. And she writes, the charity branch of his company, Leonsis' company, Monumental Sports and Entertainment Foundation, launched a GoFundMe for the rink, and Leonsis, his company, and the National Hockey League each donated, wait for it, $100,000. Please, that's like couch cushion change for these folks. It's time for more. This is, let me put my hands in your pockets
you love
and
when
tell
people
you
do this.
How much right. money you should spend for my children. You know, right. which is also, and other children around this area, they're poor children, this is their only spot. Yes, it is their only spot. And this money is allocated for Fort DuPont. And it should damn well go to Fort DuPont. It should. There's no question about that. But for her to then say, and if it doesn't work that way, Ted Leonsis should take $25 million out of his own pocket and kick it in there. How much is she spending? How much is she spending? I mean, that's just... That is unbelievable. Am I crazy on this?
You're not crazy, but I'm a big fan of this place. Our kids played there.
Yeah.
It really is a wonderful thing.
Nice.
It should be expanded.
Yes.
For those outside of the area, it's not just a hockey rink. This is a community center where people are ice skating.
Ice
there are
skaters.
Other events there.
Olympians.
If this, for context, if this were in the small pocket of Southwest even, by where the baseball stadium, by where the new soccer stadium is, this would be a no issue. It would be easy to find the funding. And your boy Leonsis would probably pony up and open up the checkbook for this.
$25 million?
Maybe not the full freight of $25 million.
I mean, I just find it amazing.
But the stark contrast in terms of what the Nats put in for the baseball academy that is next door shows you what is
and that's mentioned
socially
here.
Yes, what is socially responsible in this climate.
Okay, but
and what's happening on the other side of the river in Northern Virginia?
The GoFundMe.
Well, this is in Northeast.
Everything Michael said is absolutely correct,
Southeast.
And let's not let your appropriate
hatred.
Lack of affection for her to adversely impact this place because it's really wonderful.
You're consistent on this position.
I want the city to put up the money
allocated. This is what makes me so angry, and the money was allocated. It went through all the appropriate processes. All the legal aspects of it were taken care of. It was allocated to this, and it was supposed to start. And I don't see how the mayor can just unilaterally
declare
decide,
state
no.
of emergency.
I agree 100% with that. But also the notion that where she calls out Ted Leonsis and says, well, you should write a check.
Ted Leonsis has done a lot for the city.
Yeah. And a lot
years
for hockey
ago.
In the city.
Because it's because as she says, I've spent a lot of time there. My kids have played hockey there. Good. I'm glad for that. That is common ground that you and I have. Because I spent time there and my son played hockey there. That's great. That's great. So maybe you don't want to insult me all the time.
In one day, the GoFundMe campaign.
I think you're focusing on two paragraphs where she mentions taking interviews in the car and working the deep fryer, which I understand. I think that personal touch was too much. This is one piece where she's actually not attacking you and not going against Upper Northwest D.C.
That piece couldn't have made him angrier if it was co-penned by Elizabeth Warren and AOC.
I mean, years ago, the great, you know, outreach we had from that one bloke who said, "You've got money, Tony.
Right.
You should give to this charity.
You should give back to the community."
Scolding you.
What? Some guy from Channel 9? What?
How much has the GoFundMe page gotten?
They're attempting to raise just $500,000. $500,000 in one day. They've raised $330,000.
I'm just interrupting.
$770,000.
They did the game on Sunday prior to the most boring Super Bowl ever. The hockey game on Sunday. They did some stuff up on the telescreen and they announced some stuff about it. And I saw people hitting their phones doing the GoFundMe.
I'm just saying that this particular columnist has scolded me, not me personally, but people like just scolded all the time. All the time.
She's jealous.
Not jealous.
She is.
No, she is.
Did you want to talk about the Harvard astronomer?
Yes.
This is not
some crank.
Yeah, this is not somebody
wearing
a
tin. This is the head of the astronomy department at Harvard.
Yeah, it's a fairly reputable school.
Who says there's some out there that he believes is alien life.
Yeah, what's the
alien life? I agree completely.
What? So...
Okay, so there's something out.
Segment over.
Right.
That's it. It's over.
It's a long disc.
They weren't watching the Super Bowl.
How do you pronounce it?
Amamura or something.
Oumuamua, I think is how it's pronounced. Yeah, it's Hawaiian for
that
scout.
It sounds like a Tommy James song. Oumuamua.
It's some object in space that is...
Karamiamai.
That does not... He's claiming does not appear to be a star or anything like that. It has a purpose. It's moving with speed away... And he says
it's a
light sail floating in interstellar space as a debris from an advanced technological equipment. And all his colleagues are saying, oh gosh, you can't say this.
Why?
Because they feel that it will make them all look like whack jobs. And he's out there saying, well, listen, if it's there, prove that it's not. If you can prove that this is not from, you know, intelligent
something
life
about
out there,
like the way it moves, like thrusts.
Something in the way you move.
It thrusts reminds in a way like that gravity would not take it. I'm just wondering, could it maybe be just like an
gas.
Old satellite from the 1300s or something that we lost track of?
That's right.
Far out in deep space.
It's gas and it's plastic.
Well, I do agree with them on this. It is completely arrogant for humans to think, well, it's just us out there.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have any proof to back that up, that there's actually intelligent life out there, but just the odds.
Whatever is in it donates
money to save Fort DuPont, then you know.
Right. That's true.
Speaking of arrogance, I love that we often talk about, is there intelligent life elsewhere? Somewhere, some beings are watching over this way going, oh my God, there's no intelligent life anywhere else in this galaxy.
All right, we're done. We will return with Old Guy, and then we'll talk about Tori's podcast from last night.
Scary.
I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The winter sports season is one of the hardest times of year to get through without a cable subscription. From college and professional basketball to the upcoming spring training, being exiled from the sports world is a nightmare. But now, with ExpressVPN, you can stream all of your favorite teams in any sport on your computer, phone, or tablet. ExpressVPN is the biggest secret cable companies don't want you to hear about. ExpressVPN can get you any IP address in the world, letting you access sports streams available in other countries. It also lets you securely use the internet without being tracked by anyone for all that late-night exploring. ExpressVPN keeps your online activity private and anonymous while you browse, email, download, or stream. Their easy-to-use app encrypts all your internet data and hides your IP address, protecting your entire connection. ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month and runs seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, or tablet. Every time you use the internet without ExpressVPN, you're putting your sensitive data at risk. To unlock access to the streaming content you want today and find out how you can get 3 months free, go to expressvpn.com ExpressVPN.com/Tony. That's ExpressVPN.com/Tony for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Tony.
Good job.
To learn more.
Nice.
Good job.
I brought it.
That was very good. Rory McIlroy is on the Today Show now. He looks like a regular human being.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Well, I might not even know him if I passed him in the street. I guess I would. I don't know. All right. We will have. All right, I'm done.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Money. And it is associated now with the Beatles, but this is the original version. This is Barrett Strong.
That's right.
This is his tune.
Is this for Petula or whatever her name is?
No, it isn't. The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Why are we playing this? Other than the fact that it's great.
It's a great song, and the Beatles cover of it is fantastic as well. Because it's Barrett Strong's 78th birthday today.
Good for him.
Still around, still signing. And this, I believe, was Motown's first hit.
Is that right?
Yes.
I didn't even know it was a Motown song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was one of the writers. There's a big dispute about writing credits for it. And I think Berry Gordy tried to, you know, shove Barrett Strong out of the writing credits
really?
For this yet various times. But this is Motown's first hit. Not the first number one, but just the first hit.
It's not
for
a
Motown.
Number one song.
No, it was not a number one song for them.
But
no.
It's a great tune.
It's a fantastic song. Yes.
Tori.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your podcast last
night. Heard it was scary.
You said it was scary.
It was scary. We had Tom Shanker and Eric Schmidt, who are national security terrorism experts at the New York Times for many, many years. And they have a wonderful book called Counterstrike, which is about the campaign, essentially to ultimately kill Osama bin Laden, but about Al-Qaeda and about anti-terrorism efforts more broadly. And it was very serious and very dark and very grim. And they were really smart. And we all left very scared. I think at the end I said, okay, it's been pretty serious conversation. What can we be optimistic about?
And they
I
said
kind
nothing?
Of stumped them.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
they
God.
Didn't.
It's not going to rain tomorrow.
That.
I think
yeah.
what they said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was at the bar the other night.
The bar here?
Here.
Yeah.
Here. Like an hour before the Super
Great
Bowl.
Great bartenders, by the way. I'm sorry. May I do a shout out to Dustin? Who's,
sure.
Who's kind of our resident waiter when
yeah.
we're doing the show on Monday.
Great job.
He's terrific.
Yeah,
he's
so
a fantastic
this
job.
Is to piggyback on what you said about how people are scared and these guys reported on this sort of stuff for years and years. A guy sitting at the bar said to me, do you know that the man who solved the Unabomber case comes here all the time? I said, what? Ted Kaczynski, that case where the brother, I think, turned him
yeah,
in.
Yeah, the
said,
brother broke it.
Yeah. James Fitzgerald, who's a criminal profiler, a linguist, and a media consultant, wrote a book called A Journey to the Center of the Mind. This is he.
Can we get him on the show?
He solved the well. I you know he solved the I'd rather he spend time at the bar and give us money.
He could do
but
both.
He solved the Unabomber case.
How great is that?
That's
very
so.
Cool.
That's like and the breach the Robert Hansen that spy case
yep.
that
oh,
became
yeah,
the
yeah.
great movie Breach.
Oh yeah,
that is also in this area. But apparently the unit now I don't subscribe to Netflix. Apparently there's a series about the Unabomber capture that is on Netflix.
Huh.
If I have this correct.
We'll have to check it out.
We got a guy drinking here, you know, eating
How
here and drinking
that?
Here who solved the Unabomber case.
So there was a 2017 miniseries on Discovery Channel, which may now be on, it may be on Netflix now, I can check it, called Manhunt Unabomber. And it features Sam Worthington as James Fitzgerald, described by Fitzgerald himself as a composite character.
If anybody knows how to find him. Can I quickly...
How to find him?
Just hang out here.
He's sitting here on Wednesday
I'll
nights,
buy him a
apparently.
Drink. I'll buy him a drink.
Yeah.
So can we quickly focus group an idea we had for Chatter
yes,
on Books?
Yes, yes,
which is there are in the area, there are lots of interesting authors. They may not be bestsellers like Michelle Obama, but interesting authors who cover a variety of topics. So we thought maybe once a month on Chatter on Books, we would have the Shark Tank of books. Three or four authors could come in. They would have 5 minutes to pitch their book and try to convince us that we ought to buy it. And then we, the chatterers, as we call ourselves, the panelists,
That's
get
great.
To declare a winner.
That's great. And do you
like
then
that.
Buy the book? You just
yeah,
throw
we'll
a
say
20
we'll buy,
on the table? Or do you ask Ted Leonsis to take out the money and just bankroll the whole
well,
thing?
Well, frankly, they're going to call you, I think.
And I'm not even, we're not even pals. And I go, what is that? Okay. I'm coming to everyone now in an hour of need. I have an hour of... I'm old, and as such... I'm old. I'm an old man. And as such, certain senses, certain parts of my body are beginning to fail. I can't hear anymore. I mean, my hearing is really, really bad. So I asked my personal doctor, could he recommend a couple of hearing specialists? You know, just the ENTs, right? Ear, nose, throat. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys. Yeah. So he gave me a couple of names. I called them up, and office managers, no problem at all, saying, oh, no, no. We have no openings for at least a month. We have no openings for at least a month. I called three different offices for, you know, three different doctor's offices. No, no, 3 or 4 weeks at the earliest. Well, you know, my age, I don't know that I
have
that.
That's, yeah,
so I'm asking if there's, one of those somebody, if there's somebody who listens. Yeah, it's good business. If somebody is listening within an easy walk from me, Chevy Chase.
Specifically from the Feldman ENT group in the Barlow building.
Or if you do house calls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly willing to pay for the test. Right. I just want to know what I have to do.
To what end? It's pretty likely.
I guess I need a hearing aid. Because I spent my entire life sticking things in my ear to hear radio and television.
I think this has far less to do with your age. It has more to do with your occupation.
Maybe.
And I think it's
have
very
you done one of those hearing tests where they put you in the little phone booth and someone is outside pressing buttons and it comes in from your left ear, your right ear?
Yeah. I can't hear anything. Yeah. 5 years ago, they told me I had the hearing of an 80-year-old man. So now it's much worse, I think. Yeah. What, my own doctor went behind my ear and made noise, said, you hear that? I go, no. And it was like right on my ear.
Yeah, you're like, no.
And I couldn't hear it.
But do you want to fix it, or you just want to have
this
confirmed?
Do you want a miracle ear?
I want to know exactly what it is so that I can complain about it for a while. And then
we got a Thursday show coming up, you know.
Like, I don't, I don't use my right ear. And the sound is being fed, the earpiece is in my left ear.
Right.
So I could put an aid in my right ear. But then
that going to help you hear?
I don't even hear.
I mean, it's not yourself speaking.
Yeah, but when I watch television now, when I watch a movie on television now, I miss 50% of the movie. Unless I have to jack the thing up so much that even the dog gets
afraid. Do the captions. Do the
closed captions.
I don't want to read movies.
To that point.
That's where I am. I don't.
True Detective, I watched the most recent episode last night. I find it very difficult sometimes to understand. It's just it's so subdued, some of the dialogues. Anyone else have that issue?
I do.
Yeah.
What?
No, I have the same issue with that exact show, and it's the commercial effect. We're on a TV show for normal TV when the commercial just comes back at you cranked up.
Right.
Now, are you going to have to go into conversations with the slightly askew face as you try and lean in with one ear?
No, I'm not. I haven't done that yet. Most of the time, I'll say I didn't hear that a lot, but most of the time, I don't care what someone's saying to me. Most of the time, but when I'm watching. Like at a noisy restaurant at the Palm when it's really noisy, I was told that must be terrible for you, and I say no, it's great. I don't even
just check out.
I don't care.
You don't have an issue.
But
hearing.
I like to the movies. I'd like to know what's on television.
You know that something has been said. You just can't make it out what it is. It's like muted.
I guess I'm missing the.
And he doesn't really care what other people are saying, so it works out perfectly. I just hope the show goes on long enough that we'll be sitting here looking at you in the oxygen tank next to him.
Just rolls it in.
Well, this might be a new sponsor for the show. Ergo. It's a Ergo
means ergo.
It's a hearing aid company for the low price of $2,500.
Hearing aids are expensive.
Yes.
Yeah. They're pricey.
Well, they do have a finance plan if you want to go that route. If you can't get Ted Leontis to pay for this for you.
GoFundMe as a column in the Post.
It says it's invisible, rechargeable.
How could it be invisible?
If nearly it's invisible.
Way in there.
Well, it doesn't exist then if it's invisible.
Wait, is Quip still a sponsor of this show?
They make toothbrushes.
Okay, but this whole subscription model thing, and your hearing will get progressively worse, so you get a new one every month, and Michael will have to turn it on for you.
Right.
But you'll get a new one.
What?
This is what it says.
What?
Sleek, functional, and practically invisible.
Oh, practically invisible.
Completely rechargeable. Right. Just pop them in the case and go.
Plug my own head into a socket.
It's like AirPods.
So comfortable.
Take a wire out of my ear and plug it into a socket.
So comfortable, you may forget you're wearing them.
I don't.
And I think it's just like a helmet that you wear.
I don't
very
wear
sleek.
A helmet. I don't wear like a hockey helmet.
But that will help you when you fall down.
Exactly.
Dual purpose.
Should I talk about my jacket? I don't.
Yeah, please, because you can't stop on old stuff.
Okay, so so when I went to the beach over the weekend, and there are a variety of stores that I go to, even when I don't need anything. And I've wanted to get a jacket. I have my Lilyhammer jacket. It's almost 30 years old. It's hideous. It's bulky.
It works, though, I bet.
It's like
still works.
A little bit uglier than Canada Goose. but not as good as Counting the Goose. But it was an Eddie Bauer jacket, and it works. It still works.
Still has chiclets in the front pocket.
Yes, it does, top left. So I felt that if I went to Eddie Bauer, which I think is known for jackets, if I bought a jacket, maybe I could get a jacket that would help me in weather, let's say, from 15 to 25. You know, not a lightweight jacket, 15 to 25. And I went in there, and I made the mistake, of course, of talking to a salesperson. They don't know anything.
No.
Like you say, well, how far down will this keep you? And, oh, minus 40. And you go, no, it's not possible. It'll keep me warm at minus 40. It's just not possible. And I said, Michael, you can relate the conversation. I did not want to buy it because...
You didn't want to buy it.
It's $200 jacket.
$200, but you excitedly told me it was down to 80, which is before the 60% other...
60% off.
It's before the other coupons.
60% off.
You drove out to the beach. You were there for less than 18 hours. And as Liz pointed out on our drive home, you were there to take a nap.
I took
Saturday
a nap.
Afternoon.
I
have
bought
an early,
socks.
Have an early dinner at the club. And then you bought socks.
I did.
The outlets did not open until 10.
I wanted to leave, but the outlets open, like Sunday, they open at 10.
So you were pacing the house like a panther at 6:30, taking the dog out. Luckily, you didn't wake the kid up. We took Walker out for an early breakfast and to play on the beach. We come back to the house. Car is gone. Trash is out on the curb. Door looks locked. And Liz just looks at me. He did it. He left us. He ghosted us. He didn't call her anything. And so we then look at the clock and realize, no, he just went out on an errand to pick up his socks.
That's right.
And to explore the
Calvin
jacket.
Calvin Klein for socks.
And for the next 20 minutes as we're packing up, you are pulling a full Chuck Todd going, should I get the coat? I don't know if I need the coat. Will it keep me warm enough? Will it get me into the 15 to 20 degree range? I'm just by the coat.
It has a hood with like fake fur on it. And ultimately what happened was they listed it at 200. Now, I doubt it's 200. I think that's just a phony list price.
It's
really
ploy.
Like 100 or something like that.
To make you feel like you're buying a really cool coat.
Yeah, but I could get it 60% off.
And no tax.
And no tax. And then I said, are there any other discounts? And the girl at the checkout said, well, are you a member of Eddie Bauer's private organization? No. I said, is that a discount? We'll give you 20% off.
If you join right now,
sign me up.
So I got
down to 73.
I got this coat.
And did they owe you money by the time you got
$64. No, it's not as great as Brooks Brothers. But I ultimately got the coat for $64.
For the sun-faded orange pants.
And it's it's not adequate, actually. When it was cold yesterday morning, it was like only about 28 or so. It wasn't as good as I hoped for.
Really?
It's not the Lilyhammer.
So we showed up yesterday morning. Dad gets out of the car. He just looks at me. This isn't warm enough.
Right, and I'm wearing it.
You should need to check out North Face. North Face does really nice coats now, and they're lighter, but they're really warm.
But they're probably expensive. Canada Goose, those jackets, we'll buy us four of them. They're $1,000 each.
Right.
By the way,
I'm not looking for that.
After last week, I checked Ovi the Rescue Dogs. Canada Goose knockoff jacket.
Canada Moose.
It's actually, I was wrong. It's Canada Pooch.
Canada Pooch. Oh, well, yeah. There you go.
It's very nice, and it keeps them very warm.
Dogs don't need to be kept very warm. Dogs have their own fur.
He doesn't have much.
Like, Chessie is so happy in the cold weather, rolling around in the snow. She's very, very happy.
Yeah, but wouldn't want to be left out all night. I mean, she's domesticated, ultimately. She's not a wild dog.
There are times when she comes into the house and she looks around at the people in the house and she goes,
"Get me out of here."
This house is kept between 78 and 80.
Are we watching the Hallmark Channel again? And is it so hot in here that I want to die? We'll be back with Email and Jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
If I should need a tomato cage, I'd have to call my son or a worker man to like plug stuff in and turn my TV on. Never spun a ratchet with a narrow head or enjoyed its 3-degree arc swing. No, I never did no tinkering. Never did no tinkering. Never did no tinkering around the home. Never did no tinkering. Why? I just called you now to shed loads.
So you got to know somebody. Come on, you're going to buy it. You got to know somebody. That's the great Brad Weiss in Williamsburg, Virginia. Let me thank Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports. Let me thank today's sponsors, Casper Mattresses, ExpressVPN, with a great read by Michael, and The Books. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Marco Frank in Radlett, England. Walking around London on Saturday when it was a balmy 32 degrees, I came across a shop 50 yards from Carnaby Street. See the attached photo. And to the bemusement of all tourists, I yelled out, "Where's Wilbon?" On Little Argyle Street, Canada Goose, a Canada Goose store in London.
Look at that.
Rick from Manassas, of the 115 or so camera shots available to the Super Bowl production crew, one that jumped out for me was the one of Amazon's Jeff Bezos hanging with Roger Goodell. Brief, but enlightening.
Bezos.
From Tim Wildsmith, who actually sung for us earlier in the show in Nashville. I've got a 22-pound West Highland Terrier and $85 in my wallet, four 20s, one single, and two $2 bills. That's right. It's all about the Jeffersons, baby. Brent in Gilbert, Arizona. A recap of Thursday's conversation on stargazing. Tony, when I was in college, I drove across the country from east to west and got to Wyoming. The Wyoming area, Wyoming, Idaho, Colorado, out there, that's what the big sky country is. While Wyoming, Colorado, and Idaho are all fine states, none holds the title of big sky country. That is reserved for the great state of Montana. Every time I return home to visit the cattle ranch of my youth, I spend time outside at night admiring the stars. It brings an enormous sense of peace and perspective, only to be completely undone when I go back inside, hop back on my phone, and see something like Saliza tweeting out a picture of some amazing brisket he recently ate that looks like it came from under the heat lamp of a golden corral. That's a brilliant email. Brian in East Newmarket, Maryland. You want Wilbon to love the Super Bowl next year? Have the Chicago Bears play whoever signs Derrick Rose. That's probably true. John Macy in Madison, Wisconsin. I was in Jamaica with the woman I'm related to by marriage. We were watching CNN's coverage of the government shutdown. While watching the Situation Room, I had my own David Aldridge moment when Saliza showed up on the screen. Me, I know him, I know him. Wife, is he on that podcast with the guy from The Yelling Show? My wife calls BTI The Yelling Show. Me, yes. Wife, complete disinterest. Okay, that's nice. At least now I know what Saliza looks like and won't see Brian Windhorst in my head whenever he speaks. From Neil in Rockville. I'm not sure if I'm willing to invest in an entire season of Survivor just to hear Rick Devon shout out a few lecheeseries, but if he promised that whenever things were going bad, he dropped a, "Come on, man, what are we even doing out here, man?" I would definitely be in. From Steve the Sycophant, emailers have been taking you to task for your featuring of a regular whistler. The man you really need is no longer with us. His name was Joseph Pujol, a Frenchman born in 1857. His stage name was Le Petitmain, and he was a flatulist. To quote from Wikipedia, he was famous for his remarkable control of the abdominal muscles, which enabled him to fart at will. He was able to move air into his rectum and then control the release of that air with his anal sphincter muscles. Some of the highlights of his stage act involved effects of cannon fire and thunderstorms, as well as playing O Sole Mio in La Marseillaise on an ocarina through a rubber tube in his rear. He could also blow out a candle from several yards away. His audience included Edward, Prince of Wales, King Leopold II of Belgium, and Sigmund Freud. Mr. Pujol retired from the stage after the outbreak of World War I and returned to his original occupation, baking. I'm very sorry he's not available to appear on your show.
Was his nickname Le Petitmain?
Le Petitmain. Isn't that a Groucho Marx thing?
No, that was Mel Brooks's, the governor of Le Petitmain.
That's right, that's right. Ryan Dovell.
The Dovells are a group, aren't they?
Yeah, but wasn't that the... Okay. Harrisonburg, Virginia. What's worse than a dog Super Bowl game? Knowing that for the next 10 seasons, Golden State will win the NBA Finals. Eat it, Wilbon. From Bob Goff in Williamsburg, Virginia. Longtime listener, infrequent mailer. Our hound dog, Gus, a rescue from the Charlottesville SPCA, weighs 75 pounds. I put my belt starting on the left side. Thought you should know. From Bruce Lawing in Concord, North Carolina. This seems like a no-brainer. The All-Star Game is in Charlotte. Seth and Steph Curry are committed to the three-point contest. Why not let Del Curry participate as well? Give him maybe 5 seconds more per rack or make all the shots worth 2 points. Not sure how to balance that out, but the stars are perfectly aligned to do this since Del is one of the best shooters in NBA history. It's in his hometown, and his two sons will be out there. In fact, I would add one veteran to every three-point contest going forward based on the game the city is in. I would watch that. Don Harris, Fayetteville, Arkansas, $205 in a front pocket money clip. 820s, 310s, 25s, 51s, all bills facing the same direction, face up and separated in order, running from highest value bills on the inside position of the fold to lower value bills on the outer later.
Safety first.
I love this guy. This guy's an OCD guy like I am. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
Thank you.
Chicago.